Quantum Marketing Radio, the marketing podcast for insurance agents and financial professionals.
And welcome to another episode of Quantum Marketing Radio. I'm your host, Louis Hillman, alongside the Leverage Marketing Guy.
Hey, everyone. Jeff Thompson here.
And we have the pleasure of welcoming Jimmy Pomerantz. I think that's the first time I've ever even said your full last name. Jimmy P, as he's best known in the industry, joining us on the show today. Jimmy is the founder of Impact Speakers. And you know what? I actually had the privilege of going through his class back in November. We'll get to this a little bit more, but I had to be dragged into the deal and walked out of it 2 days later, just so thankful that I had a chance to meet Jimmy P. Jimmy P, welcome to Quantum Marketing Radio.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate you having me.
So Impact Speakers, this is about helping people become better communicators, better presenters, and in our industry, better salespeople. How'd you get your start with your program and what you're doing in the industry?
Well, it's interesting. First of all, you have to understand I came from two parents. One, my dad was a police chief, and my mom was an actress. So I practically came out of the womb already speaking. So that kind of defied the whole idea that people are most afraid of public speaking than anything else in the world. It never really was something that bothered me. And so I'm actually one of those guys that when I see people now that I've known my whole life actually say, oh, my God, you found your calling. So for me, really, several years ago, when I say several, I'm talking 25 or more, I started to work with a company that was actually one of the preeminent presentation skills companies in the country, worked with them for a few years, and then actually was stolen away by AIG Sun America to be their national sales training director. And so what I did for them was I spoke at all the conferences, I did all the training sessions like the two-day sessions that I do now, worked with marketing to help craft messages so that there wasn't a disconnect between the marketing material and what the foot soldiers were saying on the street. You know, pretty much ran the gamut with a bunch of different hats there, and then ultimately just segued into, I guess I'm going on my 12th year now of Impact Speakers.
That's awesome. And Impact Speakers, I mean, you're going into different, a lot of times I assume, work environments and training people on how to be better communicators. Small
sure,
group sessions
yeah.
kind of deal?
The way I met you, Louie, and the way I got into the business was because I was with Sun America so long, when I started my own business, I pretty much hit the ground running. In other words, there wasn't a lot of startup or having to ramp up to get into the industry. And I just want to make it clear, and Louie, again, because you were in the session, I'll keep alluding to that, it's not just for the financial arena. It's not just one-on-ones. It's not just small groups. It's not just stand up on the podium. It's really kind of the gamut. And what I like to say is that if you listen and work hard for those 2 days, it has to help you increase your productivity both personally and professionally based on the format that is taught in there.
Now, Jimmy P, I know you said you came out of the womb talking, and anybody that's met you will not be surprised by that. But, you know, early on in your career, when did you have that aha moment that you knew how to present, you knew how to communicate, you knew how to give a public presentation better than everybody else, better than most people?
You know, I think the up until the end of that question when you said better than most people, I never really felt I was better than most people. I just knew that I didn't have that fear that people have. And, you know, let me tell you, having the confidence up there really is half the battle. And so I knew I never had that. I've always sung in a band. I did improv comedy. So being up on a stage is something I'm very comfortable with. The aha moment probably came when I actually worked for this other company in South Florida and realized that not only did I have the ability to do it, but now I have a vehicle and a way to train others. That was probably the aha moment where I actually started teaching my seminars witnessing the improvement both from people that wanted to be in there and the people that came kicking and screaming like you did, Louis, and then watching the improvement over two short days, noticing the pride and the confidence in people who, as we all know, were probably all way too self-critical, but to see people sit down and have that feeling of, hey, you know what? That was pretty good. And then subsequent to the sessions, when you actually see people have an increase in their productivity, again, both personally and professionally. So it wasn't just one aha moment. It's thank God, been a continuation of aha moments for the last 20-something years and at least the last 12 as impact speakers.
So, Jimmy, for the rest of the world that didn't come into the earth, you know, ready to go speak on stage, but instead are, you know, terrified of public speaking, how do you get somebody from, you know, sweaty palms and butterflies in their stomach to actually giving a successful, powerful presentation that really connects with the audience?
That's a great question. First of all, let me just address the butterflies in the stomach. There's a lot of, and Louis knows this as well, there's a lot of times during the session that I'll just kind of pass along either sayings that I've heard or things that my parents had said or something that I had read. And I read a long time ago, and it was attributed to Vince Lombardi, but it was one of those stories that really could have been maybe somebody else. And it sounds like a sports story, but the story I heard was an offensive lineman came to Vince Lombardi when he was a rookie and said, "Coach, I got these butterflies. How do I get rid of the butterflies?" And Lombardi looked at him and said, "Son, I don't want you to get rid of the butterflies. I want you to teach those butterflies how to fly in formation." So it's harnessing those. It's getting them. And that helps with the nerves. The other thing, Jeff, is that in my session, a lot of times people will sit down and they were appreciably, in appearance anyway, more confident. In appearance, they seemed to know what they were doing and just a lot more, I could follow them a lot easier, and yet they may not have felt it. You know, that's even a win there too, even if they don't feel that they were more confident, because it's all about the audience. So the structure that is taught in the session, I think, is the main thing that really helps people with the nerves. Part of it is when people don't know what they're going to say, don't know how to say it. So we don't teach them just what to say. In fact, I don't teach them at all what to say. I concentrate on how they say it to be the real aha. And I think that, Jeff, to answer your question, helps most with those nerves.
So it's really more about having that plan of how they're going to get up there and do it without necessarily focusing so much on what they're saying.
Yeah, my assumption is when people walk in the room, they pretty much know what to say. The problem is nobody has taught them how to say it. And certainly part of the other thing that I teach is the universal language so that they're all speaking the same language. They're telling the same story, but they're not losing that personality that they bring to the table. So I don't want a bunch of automatons up there. Just like you and Louis, Jeff, you guys present differently. You're different people. I don't want you to get up and present the same way. I want you to never lose who you are. And that's part of it, too.
Well, one thing that I really took away from your training is, you know, we had eight guys in, all marketers here at ECA. We're all tasked with talking to people all the time, you know, probably 40 to 60 calls a day, cold calling, marketing ourselves, our company. Out of the eight people, I for sure came in with the most public speaking experience. We've talked about it on the show before. Before I joined the insurance industry, I was a news anchor and reporter. So getting up in front of people, no big deal. I'm like you, Jimmy P. No sweat. And I think one of the things that we did first was we gave impromptu presentations. I wasn't uncomfortable getting up in front of the people. I had an idea what I wanted to say. And I was okay after the presentation was over, but I don't think it had a clear structure in my presentation. That was right away what I kind of took away off the bat. So it's, you know, where I'm taking this is just because you are comfortable standing up in front of people, you're comfortable talking and presenting, you're not getting the sweaty palms or the butterflies in the stomach, tipping over, passing out, fainting.
At least you're starting off with a little less of a handicap than everyone else, but
that doesn't mean you're giving an effective presentation.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I've seen people that are very entertaining when they speak. I see people who are great communicators when they speak. And yet, when they're finished with their presentations and they go sit down, I think, wait, what did they just say? Yeah, it was entertaining. You know what it's like, Louie? You ever see a television commercial and everybody talks about it? Oh, did you ever see the one when the guy is with the woman and then they explain the whole thing and you say, okay, yeah.
And you don't remember what company
it was. Yeah, what's that product again? What was the So I think what happens with this structure now is the ability to not only put together your presentations quicker, and I'd love to talk about the idea of starting at the end, which I assume we'll get a chance to do, but it's also having your audience really follow you, retain what you said, and then most importantly, again, for the folks that are listening to this who are seeing clients, who are talking to other people, not just have them follow and retain, but maybe most importantly, be able to turn around and really repeat what they just heard. To me, that's a major part of why this format works.
Well, I'm sure we have a lot of listeners today that are not only just meeting folks one-on-one where they have to have a structured presentation, but are doing public seminars and workshops and may or may not be good at it. You know, a lot of them are, I'm sure, run the gamut of skill level there and often are using, you know, turnkey seminar systems. So the presentation content is already there. The formula then that makes it successful is maybe what you can teach people to bring to the table. So why is it important to have that structure when putting together a presentation?
Well, I just had alluded to it a minute ago, and that's because when you put this structure together, when you put the words down into this format that I teach, a lot of times when people have to put down their desired remarks on paper to get up and actually express them, the age-old question is, okay, where do I start? How do I put this thing together? Well, in our structure, there's no doubt where you start, and you start there every single time. And that's the specificity of the call to action. The most important word in there is specificity. And, Louie, I hope you remember, I have you guys underline that word on day one, and then I probably say it about 117 more times during the 2 days. And the examples I give, and listen, even in the listening audience, and both of you are aware of this, you call down for your room service and you say, hey, you know, I called for my room service. It's not here yet. And invariably they will say, oh, it'll be up there soon. And 99% of the population go, okay, good, and they hang up. Well, soon could mean 20 minutes, and what if I'm being picked up in 10 minutes? So that whole concept of being implicit doesn't get things done. I had to travel recently to Washington, and I called the hotel I was staying in, and I said, excuse me, but how far are you from Dulles? I'm flying into Dulles, and I have an appointment. I have to get an idea how far you are. And she actually said to me, oh, we're not that far. Okay, thank you, because that really answers my question beautifully. And you know, you're laughing because I'm expressing it in this way, but if I didn't, you know what everybody would do? Oh, good, you're not that far. Well, that's not explicit. I give the example in our classroom about just telling a kid to clean their room. Well, invariably an hour later, the parent will look in that room and they'll see the room is not clean. Why? Because they weren't told specifically what to do. So the kid might say, oh, it is clean. Or they're going to say, well, you didn't say when. Well, specificity indicates a specific time frame. It indicates exactly what it is that's entailed in having them do what you want them to do. Just the last thing as far as it relates here, I had a guy come up to me after I did a speech in San Diego, and he had this really seriously pained look on his face, and he said, you know, when you talked about specificity, that really hit home. And I said, why do you look so sad then? He said, I could think of at least 4 times in my career, 4, that I actually fired someone because they didn't do what I thought I had told them to do, and now I realize I didn't.
Oh,
so they never got, and it, yeah, and it is funny, and I kind of said, oh, wow. But this guy looked so pained because he fired people because of it. And we do it all the time. So I think that's why what I teach is the right tool as far as for what I do, because you start with that. There's no more, you know, how do I start? The other thing is, because you know exactly what you're saying, and this might not be politically correct, but I call it liposuction. You know, people that are in sales love to tell their listener everything they know. And quite frankly, you only have to tell your audience what they need to hear to get them to do what you want them to do, and you don't have to tell them anything. So I call that the liposuction, sucking out some of the fat. So the beauty is you can do a 5-minute presentation or you can do an hour presentation, an audience of any size, one-on-one, emails, voicemails, personal and professional.
Well, let's visualize this a little bit more, because you have a tool that can help the presenter put together their presentation, the box diagram. You talk specifically about starting with the last piece, the specific call to action. Help us visualize the rest of the framework for the box diagram and how that is used by the presenter to put together an effective presentation.
Okay, so again, without giving away the farm, obviously, because part of my shameless plug at some point is for people to hopefully contact me in order to take a 2-day class and really get up there and utilize this. But the most important, as we just suggested, is that specific call to action. So let's think of that kid again that we talk about that does not clean their room. And I'm sure there's however many people you've got out there with kids, that's how many people you've got that their kids don't listen to them or clean their room. So if you start with that kid and you start with that specificity of an action step and you tell them what you mean by clean and when it needs to be done, and you make sure there's no questions. When you see their room an hour later, it doesn't mean they definitely did it right and did it on time, but we're about 50% of the way there, just because they can't say it is clean when you notice that they didn't follow your directive. Or I'll get to it. Well, if you gave them a specific time to do it, that doesn't fly either. So once they've got that, the second step in the process is giving them some type of a benefit. So for a kid, that benefit might be, you know, a later curfew, or it might be having a sleepover, or it might be taking them to the mall, or depending on their age, it might be letting them drive the car. It could be a consequence like taking away the cell phone, which to a kid I think is considered Armageddon. Mm-hmm. So for the folks that are listening out there, so what's an advantage to a client investing in a product that they're showing them? Well, it might be to help their grandkids with their education. It might be to retire more comfortably. It could be just the peace of mind. It could be, just diversifying their portfolio. So those are the benefits. So once you've got those, now you want to do what's known as the power of three, because people do remember things that come in threes. So that's where we talk about putting together an agenda. We then go into what's known as the tell them what you're going to tell them what you told them philosophy. And that's where you pinpoint exactly what that audience needs to hear to get them to do want them to do. That's where the liposuction comes in. The last thing you're going to actually put together is your opening, which is usually the first thing people put together. But and let's also talk about the fact that most people don't even have a good opening. You know, they get up there and they say, "Hi, folks, it's great to be here. Let's talk about insurance." Wow. You had me at hello. I mean, you know.
It's riveting with that opening.
Oh, riveting is the word I was thinking of, Jeff. And so I talk about openings. And Louis, you know, we talk about different ways that you can open with a story, an anecdote, a quote, a statistic of some sort, a joke. So there's a whole litany of types of openings that we use. And maybe it's because of my improv background, but I love me some openings. So that's where my clients subsequent to the sessions can always contact me to come up with some openings. And so in the speed reading version, that's basically how the diagram works. But the folks in there get to actually use it, apply it. As you suggested, we do impromptu speeches where they literally have 2 minutes to prepare and get up and speak about something that they may or may not know anything about. And so that's kind of the 30,000-foot view of the diagram.
We'll come back to the impromptu speeches a little later in the show because we have some funny anecdotes from our group training, but I think it's very applicable to having that structure. Sure. We're coming up on about halfway through the interview, Jimmy P., so we're going to stop and take a quick break here and be back in just a minute. You're listening to Quantum Marketing Radio.
Are you independent? Be a part of the cutting edge in fixed life and annuity marketing for the independent agent and advisor. Discover the ECA Advantage, where you'll find the marketing systems, training, products, compensation, and expert support you need to take your business to the next level. Sign up for your free ECA agent account to get access to ECA's Knowledge is Power 2016 keynote speaker video series. For more information, call ECA Marketing today at 800-356-4189 and ask for your marketer, or visit ecamarketing.com.
And welcome back to Quantum Marketing Radio. I'm your host, Louie Hillman, alongside the Leverage Marketing Guy.
Hey, Jeff Thompson here.
And we are picking up our conversation with Jimmy P., the founder of Impact Speakers. And Jimmy, let's break down kind of your experience working with me. We kind of alluded to it. I mean, we joked kicking and screaming. From my perspective, I was thinking, why in the world are they bringing me into this public speaking workshop?
You're Ted Majors, Mr. Broadcaster.
I mean, I'm very comfortable presenting, and I went in there with the attitude that I didn't need the training. And one of the things that we did first is you'd asked us all to prepare a topic to present to the group. And, thought I nailed it and sat back down. And, as we went through the workshop over the next 2 days, realized that I didn't really have a structure to my presentation. So I just want to kind of get your experience seeing me come through. I mean, I don't think I was a jerk or anything, but I didn't think I needed to be there.
Yeah, so first of all, yes, you were a jerk. Second of all, no, I'm teasing. And you know what's fun is that I do get certain feelings about certain people in the group. And Louis, irrespective of even being on this podcast, because we hadn't even discussed that yet, you and I have spoken a couple of times subsequent to the session. And, that's one of the great parts of being in this business. So, so back to when you got up there. So there was no doubt that I saw a guy who was very comfortable up there. So, Jeff, earlier we were talking about those people with the nerves.
Right.
Certainly, Louis didn't exhibit any of the nerves. There was no pacing. There was none of the physical stuff. There were not any of the filler words that we usually hear. There was none of the sweating and all the things that I see people go through. So we had a guy that was very comfortable up there. We also had a guy who was a good presenter because of the explicit specific action step that I have, which requires a structure. Louis, I just kind of reminded you of this. When you sat down, I remember vividly saying, and there's 8 people in the room, all of whom, there's different things we need to kind of tailor to. But I did tell you, you did an excellent presentation. It was professional. You said all the right things. You make a nice impression up there. You're a tall guy. So, you had all of that going for you. But then I remember saying, the only problem is I can't tell you a thing that you just said. So I didn't retain any of it, and I certainly can't repeat it. And so I remember watching a guy who for the 2 days started off leaning back a little bit. Again, certainly not a jerk. You definitely remember we were kids and you had that check mark from your teacher that said played well with others. So you had the good play well with others check mark, but you kind of leaned back. I know in your mind you're probably thinking, what do I need to be in here for? And then I watched a guy, who got more and more engaged, who just all of a sudden at some point mid-morning of day one, you could see the light went on, the epiphany of, oh, man, I like the concept of the specificity. And, pardon me if I'm wrong, but I think that's when it changed for you.
Well, I think one of the areas that was really interesting for me to see is did impromptu presentations. We had, 2 minutes to prepare for them. And to make it fun, we all kind of came up with some topics for each other. Some of them were absolutely disturbing, and we can't repeat on this podcast.
Wait a minute. To be fair, a lot of those we vetoed.
There were some sickos in our group. But we, you know, things that we would have had no real information to present on. You know, they're topics that were meaningless. I mean, mine was about urinal cakes, specifically. So I've got 2 minutes to come up with a presentation on urinal cakes. Where do you even go with that, right?
So let's put this into perspective, however. Remember, we don't do the impromptus until day two. So on day one, everybody comes in with their first business presentation, which was the one that I kind of remarked to you that, hey, that was a great job. I just can't repeat what you said, and there was no call to action, which, oh, by the way, is how – And I want everybody out there who's listening to this to keep in mind, the only way you make money is when you're able to persuade a person or people into taking a specific action you want them to take. It might be a check. It might be signing a contract. It might be filling out an application. Listen, it might be just agreeing to a meeting. So there was none of that from any of the eight folks up there. So if you remember in the afternoon of day one, I assign you all the presentations to do, but it needs to be first put into the format that I teach. The next day, the morning of day two, is when you guys do your impromptus. And remember, it's kind of it's not all of the diagram. It's kind of a snippet or a skeleton, if you will, of the full diagram. And by only filling in those five areas, every person in that room, different skill sets, different experiences, different levels, different senses of humor, different opening styles, different personalities. But every one of you, if you recall, was able to get up and speak, quote unquote, confidently or knowledgeably about something that they probably knew nothing about because they used the format. So the method to the madness is, if you can get up and to use yours, if you can get up and speak about urinal cakes for 5 minutes, which was scary how much you knew, imagine, and now, you know, if you'd like to share, we talked a little bit prior to going on, what you guys are actually doing there as a team. Now you're able to get up and you can actually speak knowledgeably, truthfully knowledgeably about your business. So I would love for you to share that because that made me feel really good.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that in just a second. But real quick, do you remember what my urinal cake call to action was?
Wow. You know, I probably have trained a couple hundred people since then, but when you remind me, I'm sure I will remember.
It was that you had to pee on the urinal cake.
Oh, yeah, don't miss.
They're there for a purpose.
Game.
But I think the thing I really took away from doing the impromptus was that if I just give you a topic and say, talk about it, you've got 2 minutes to prep to talk about it, you are just going to spew crap everywhere, and your presentation is going to go nowhere. But when you have the box diagram in the back of your head as a structure to follow, even on a topic that you truly don't know about or not confident about, you have something, a playbook to kind of follow.
So how have you been using this since you had a chance to go through?
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you, Jimmy, I had probably the next week after our training, I had a rep that I was making a cold call to. So somebody that I had no relationship with, it was the first time we've ever talked, and he asked me, why should I do business with ECA? That is almost an impossible question to answer, right? You could go one of a million ways about what we do differently than other FMOs in the industry. But, you know, with this idea in mind that I'm going to have a specific call to action, I'm going to have a framework, I'm going to have three agenda topics. I gave them the three agenda topics. We had great service, we offer sales and marketing programs to our advisors, and we pay competitive compensation. I was able to use the box diagram to take control of that conversation. I think the thing that what happens a lot in the sales world, especially when you're making cold calls as a marketer or even as a salesperson, whether it's in person, you know, presenting to people that you don't really have a relationship with, is not having a way to control the conversation and make sure that they hear everything that you want to say to them. Because without that, that question could have spun out of control in my answer and all the words that I spewed back at them.
You know what's funny, Louis? One of the other interesting things is that we didn't talk about, but because there is such a structure, and you actually end up with a roadmap of your presentation. So it is actually the combination of somebody who's a mad scripter, and we had some scripters in our room, you remember? Mm-hmm. So it's somebody who's a mad scripter versus the guy that thinks he can get up there and just wing it. So, you know, there's good about both. There's good things about scripting. You know where you're going. You know what you want to say. You have a specific call to action. You can practice it to see how long it's going to take. What's not good about scripting? You know what? It sounds scripted. And if somebody asks you a question, if there's an interruption, man, you could just lose your place if you just forget where you're going. The other side of winging it, you know what's good about winging it? Well, you know what? It's natural. It's more flexible. You can talk about what the audience wants to talk about. The downside of winging it, however, is you could just get up there and have a stream of consciousness. You know, I always say you end up sounding like Matthew McConaughey trying to sell a Lincoln. I mean, it's just this wah, 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 like an adult in a Charlie Brown cartoon. So what the diagram does is it marries the best of both of those worlds. So there is a semblance of scripting, but it's just snippets and bullet points. And then you add the winging it, if you will, to that. And so, Jeff, again, to get back to the nerves, this is why it helps. So that if you got that topic with no structure, you're going to hamana hamana for 5 minutes. With the structure, it helps. Now, one other thing, Louis, as you're explaining your story, this is also a way, and I hope ECA has begun doing this too, that you can start to put together libraries of. So, for instance, there should be a diagram universally that if anybody is asked, so why should I use ECA marketing? Well, boom, you go right into that box diagram. You go right into that specific story. The other thing we always put together, and this is subsequent to the sessions, but I love being a part of this, is putting together a rebuttal file. Imagine a world where you've got 8 people on a team, and they're all being asked the same questions. You know, I know, you do not have 8 people answering the same question in the same way. It just doesn't happen. Listen, I call Delta to get a flight. If I don't like their answer, I call back again. I might get a different answer. So the other good thing is, imagine a world where there's actually consistency in the answer to the same questions. That's another reason why I like, you know, having this particular format. It's basically, you know what it is? It's just a bunch of people speaking the same language.
So if a guy like Louis, who's a, you know, got a background in professional broadcasting and is a pretty polished guy when it comes to public presentations, can get better by coming to your training, you know, who, obviously almost anybody can benefit, but really who is this training going to benefit the most? And how can
It's interesting. I jokingly, when I'm talking to people about what I do and talking to them about actually participating in a session, whether I'm talking to an individual or, you know, the client who has people working for or with them, you know, I facetiously say anyone who sells, communicates, or presents for a living, or, you know, has people under them who sell, communicate, or present for a living, which basically narrows it down to everyone. So that's your first answer. I'll give you a double negative, but there is nobody that can't improve. Obviously, being a little bit more centered about this, it's, you know, anybody, any sales groups, the managers of those sales groups. It just, as I said about putting the library together, it gets everybody speaking the same language. It's a consistent message. It's a consistent way to answer questions. Louis, one of the other things we didn't talk about is you had 8 people in that room. Remember, we even had one person who didn't find out that they were going to be in there until 5 minutes before when they said, oh, somebody got sick. You want to fill in. So I think one of the things that I can't possibly talk about more is the bonding and the team building that goes on in those rooms. I mean, you can't tell me that the folks that you went through that room with, that you don't have a little bit of a better feeling with now. It's, you know what it's like? It's like the Breakfast Club. Remember that movie? And at the end, they're all saying, well, let me ask you something. When we see each other Monday, are we going to say hello in the hall? Well, you do. There's a bonding that goes on. And last but not least, again, which seems to be a common thread through this, but anybody who wants to overcome their nerves and wants to stop taking beta blockers to get up and do a presentation, whether it's one-on-one in a small group, large group, on the phone, this definitely benefits them as well. So to answer your question, everyone.
Well, it's been fun. Our group of eight, we've been getting together every couple weeks, continuing to work on our presenting skills, our box diagrams. Most recently, we just did a role play where we were trying to do phone cold calling and trying to stump each other, you know, about things that an advisor or somebody that you're trying to prospect to can say to throw you off track. Well, you think about it from the advisor standpoint. Let's say there's a group of, you know, an office that has a group of reps, right? If they're going through this and getting better at role-playing with each other, how much better are they going to be as a team when their clients and prospects that they're presenting a life insurance policy to or an annuity policy, when they start raising objections?
That's right. That's right. You know, it's funny. One of the other things that I just want to stress that I don't think we've spoken about yet is the importance of, and, you know, it actually says it on my business card, how you say something means more than what you say. And it, again, Louis, I don't know if you remember, but the very first thing we do in that session is I ask everybody in the room, and you, people listening right now, you can do the same thing while you're listening. Think of the most memorable speaker you've ever heard. Do you remember that, Louis?
Mm-hmm.
And once you think of that speaker, I want you to then think of, and by the way, this could be somebody famous, it could be somebody you saw in person, could have been in a movie, television, it could be, it doesn't have to be famous, it could have been a clergyman, a coach, a teacher, a friend, a relative. But once you come up with that name, I have everybody come up with three aspects of what makes that individual memorable. The aspects rarely have anything to do with the content of what people say. It's usually their sense of humor, their sincerity, their compassion, their confidence, their storytelling, their voice. It rarely has to do with what they say. Now, let's keep in mind, I'm not teaching you that it doesn't matter what you say. It certainly matters. But again, everybody walks in the room knowing what to say. It's how you say it that makes it memorable. So again, both of you and everybody out there listening to this, think, you all have competition. How do people choose who to do business with? Well, they choose, first of all, people that they like. How do they know they like them? Well, because they're memorable. So that's how we kind of draw people in from the very beginning, which is, oh, my God, that's the aha moment. And then to further that aha moment, think of if you had to put a presentation together right now. So, again, for the folks out there, maybe it's a client appreciation. Maybe it's a small group. Maybe it's one-on-one. If you now had to sit down and compose your desired remarks for that individual or that group, think about the percentage of time you're spending on the content of what you say versus what I teach, which is how to say what you say. People spend 90 to 100% of their time on what they're saying. Wonderful, but that doesn't get you to be memorable. It doesn't get you to be liked, and you know what else it doesn't get you? The relationship and being able to work together with that client.
Well, I'll just say from my personal experience, again, went in thinking I did not need the extra training. I would say it was two of the most valuable days in my professional career in the sales industry. So it was not only a pleasure, it was fun, but I feel privileged that I had a chance to learn from you. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Louis. And like I said, you're stuck with me as not only an ongoing resource, but hopefully someone who can help you whenever you need it, and certainly as a friend. So thank you. I appreciate it.
So our listeners, they want to get more information. How do they best do that?
Sure. So the best way to do it, and again, I'm available either to speak at conferences, certainly just to even give me a call and if you have any questions. But the best way, there's three different ways. First of all, phone number is 954-288-5467. You can also reach me at Jimmy P. at Impact Speakers. That's all one word, impactspeakers.com. And then I would also welcome everybody to actually go to the website, which is impactspeakers.com, read some of the testimonials, some of the clients that I have now, and a little bit about the session. So even if you have any questions, concerns, or you're interested in talking to me about doing some work with you, I certainly would love the people out there getting in touch with me.
If he can make me give a good presentation on urinal cakes, what can he do for you?
Right. I just tried a bunch of jokes right there, but I'm not gonna give you any of them.
Well, Jimmy, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show.
Thanks, Jimmy. Yeah, I think there's some good guidance and takeaways here for the listeners today, and even for the folks that think they're the best of the best of presenters, I think the lesson is that you can always learn something and can always improve.
Keep sharpening that sword. Thank you for your time, and you have a great day, my friend.
Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate you giving me the time.
Thank you.
Thank you for downloading our podcast. Find out more about the Quantum Marketing System at quantummarketingsystem.com.